Please won't you be my neighbor.
All right, good morning to our neighbor Jason Cans from jasoncans.com at his house in Eau Claire. Good morning, neighbor.
Good morning. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to talk to you this morning. And on the heels of, we're going to get right to it here this morning here in the best 5 minutes of the day, because a horrible tragedy in my hometown of Milwaukee yesterday, 6 dead, including the shooter. And one of the people I know, it happened at Molson Coors, 35th and State. I mean, I know where that is. I lived at a dead-end street called Alice Street, like 73rd in Milwaukee. You go down the hill a bit, you go to about 73rd and State. So you go down a few miles. No, exactly. They call it the Miller Valley. Max Ramsey is someone you got a chance to meet. I've got a chance to know over the last few years. And he loves people in Milwaukee about as much as anybody. I know. Max is a pastor down there, but he also reaches out to the inner city and to the poor, to the addicted, I mean, in wonderful, exemplary ways. And he posts this morning, and I want to just share and get your reaction, Jason. He says, I don't have words for what's happened here in Milwaukee. Again, my heart breaks for this city, but here's something to think about. He says, if we don't think about it and respond to it, these things will keep happening. We're created for connection. But trauma like this and so many other acts of violence rewire our brains for survival. Jason, by the way, is Dr. Jason Cans, neuropsychologist. He says, victims, families of victims, perpetrators, first responders, bystanders, witnesses, we are all being bent by this. Now, he's got another quote I'm going to share afterwards, but let's just pause, catch a breath. What about what he says there, at least initially?
I think first I'm aware that within myself there's a real sense of heaviness around that. I think I felt just real sad, not only thinking about that, but pondering what Max had said. From a neuroscientific perspective, he's precisely right. You know, it's these traumatic things, which this is a massive trauma, to even small traumas, they have the effect of disintegrating. They have the effect, and I think he used the word bending, or they were bent because of these things. And the reality is that trauma has a significant effect on our thinking. It has a significant effect on our bodies. And it puts us into a mode where we either become, you know, you hear about fight, flight, or freeze. You know, we get to this point where we want to argue or fight back. We want to run away, or we just don't know what to do, rather than being just present with the pain and the suffering that we experience. And, you know, I think there's this need for us to be real honest with what is stirring inside of each of us. And, you know, just trying to recognize the reality of the damage that traumas like this can cause.
Yeah, I found myself, at your recommendation, far too tardy to get to listen to Brené Brown's The Power of Vulnerability. But I started it some yesterday and more of it this morning. And it's interesting because she notes in there, she talks about what's been happening, even over the last 20 years. She talked about some of the tragedies and some of the trauma we've gone through collectively going back to 9/11 and these shootings like this, and the way that it impacts us exactly in the ways that Max is talking about here.
It is. It's, you know, I think that the sins that we see around us, and hopefully also see within ourselves, you know, pull us towards darkness, pull us towards disintegration. And I think as you listen to Brené Brown, you're going to find that, you know, one of the things that she says is that don't puff up, don't shrink back, stand your sacred ground. And I think as humans, our tendencies when we're confronted is to puff up. So we assert our dominance. We push how we might be better or stronger than other people. Or we shrink back, we hide. You know, shame makes us hide. Rather than just saying, you know, just standing right where we're at, you know, without needing to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think as a society, we're afraid.
It's chickens and the pecking order. And, you know, and yet when we look at Jesus, he completely turns that on his head. So as we're Christ followers, and we read Philippians 2 particularly, and say verses 4 through 8, I mean, just the idea that considering others' interests more important than ours, our attitude being the same as Christ, we have to smash the pecking order, right? And we have to just get, I mean, from the very first time we had you on earlier this year, we were talking about Michael Card, the basin and the towel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, washing feet. I mean, that's transformative.
Absolutely. You know, and again, I think that was the a real heart of Jesus' message. You know, we talk about that with the upper room stuff is, you know, what he starts by washing their feet, and then he says, love like I love.
Yeah.
And too often, I think most of us, Christian or not, we puff up. We highlight our own righteousness while separating ourselves from those that we perceive to be less righteous.
One last closing quote to get your reaction to that our friend shares is, trauma shatters your most basic assumptions about yourself and your world. This is a guy named Mark Golston, The Empathy Trap. He says, life is good, I'm safe, people are kind, I can trust others, the future is likely to be good, these kind of things. And trauma replaces them with feelings like the world is dangerous, I can't win, I can't trust other people.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. But I think I would add to that that we feel this disconnect between, okay, I think the world should be safe, but I experience it bodily as unsafe. And so we don't know how to reconcile that. We don't know how to make sense of that. And so I think, you know, Christ calls us toward wholeness, and we need to press in, who are you calling us to be? You know, where are you taking us?
Even more towards wholeheartedness. And let me just say, I mean, as stuff like The Power of Vulnerability from Brené Brown, it's just about everything she writes is just so good, and other people. And I think your book just adds to that conversation. So I'm excited about it for people to have access to Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. And people should check that out as well. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Our friend Jason Cans from jasoncans.com.
Well, I don't know if my household is normal or not. I would typically err on the not, but when it comes to pest control and bugs, that is typically my husband's department. He's the one called in to take care of.
Oh, we remember when the spider on the side of your house and we saw the picture and
Yes. So, yeah, he eradicates the bugs. So I found this very interesting, because a new survey has revealed that men are actually more likely to be, quote, very scared of bugs than women.
I just don't believe it. It just doesn't. It
seems a little odd.
I thought it seemed odd as well, but research found that 22% of female respondents said they are very scared of bugs, while 32% of male participants shared the same fear.
See, I'm more like Indiana Jones, because I am very scared of snakes. Bugs don't bother me so much.
Yeah. Leg rule. I don't like either of them.
Yeah, you don't see snakes too much, right? I mean,
that's why I live here.
That's why we don't like them, because they're sneaky.
Yeah.
They sidle up beside you when you're least expected. I'm getting the heebie-jeebies.
I'm just wondering
just
how a survey like this is done. If they put, you know, do they just have it like Scantron? Are you scared of this? Or do they literally like put the bugs on them? It's like,
you know,
hold out your arm. And
it was like when you go to the eye doctor. Are you more afraid of A or B?
Yeah, right.
A or
exactly.
B?
Exactly. I think the words that get me are the very scared. Like, is there scared or very scared? Like, were there women who were,
like, just scared.
Scared, right. Because, I'm surprised, like, 32% of the guys said that they were very scared of bugs. I mean, we got two guys here. We wouldn't say we're.
I don't know. Well, then the third one who walks in the room is very scared, I guess.
Yeah.
It also says that 6 in 10 respondents said they are confident in their bug identification abilities. However, when participants' insect knowledge was actually tested, the results told a very different tale. Only 40% knew what a bed bug looked like. 51% couldn't even identify a fruit fly. 62% were able to identify a roly-poly. Those are cute. I don't mind roly-polies. And 33% could tell the difference between a wasp and a bumblebee.
I would be fairly scared of bed bugs because I don't want those anywhere near my home. Yeah,
right.
Now, so yeah. I'm more of a scooch first, ask questions later.
Yes, absolutely.
7:38 here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Gorgeous sunshine and 17 degrees. We're here with a longtime friend of the station, Bob Adams from Adams Automotive Center of Eau Claire. Of course, you've heard their commercials for years. Many of you have had service work done and repairs at Adams Automotive Center there on Craig Road. And Bob, you're here today to tell us about something very special that you're doing for one of your own. They're part of the Adams Automotive Center family.
Yes, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the time. And I think this is a really worthy cause. We have Heather. If any of you have called the station and talked to Heather, she's always the bubbly, happy, smiling
yes.
gal. Her husband, Bill, has developed, I can't even say it right, but small cell squamous carcinoma mm-hmm. for the common folks, tongue cancer.
Yes. Mm.
So they're going to have to remove a lot of his tongue, and they're going to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is the prognosis is good. It looks like he'll... recover from this,
good.
And everything looks good. But it's been quite a battle, and the bills are piling up
mm-hmm.
tremendously. So the guys at the shop had decided that they wanted to do something for her, so they organized a day where they'll all come in. It's a Saturday. It's next Saturday,
mm-hmm.
The 7th of March, and they're going to donate all their wages for the time they spend. So
wow.
That's six... bays of technicians filled up, and our Saturdays aren't normally that busy, so we're trying to get as many people in there. So you're holding off on an oil change, or you got a check engine light that's bothering you, or maybe some brakes or something, or you just need your car looked over, we're going to have a full crew there, and they're going to look everything over, and like I said, they're donating their time. And the time they donate, then I'm going to match that. Along with that, we're going to give away some registration for giving away some tires, and there'll be some snacks and refreshments available.
Sure.
And,
wonderful.
And be a good time.
Wow.
And now, Bob, so this is something, too, again, so you're matching all the wages of the techs that day, Saturday, March 7th, 8 to 5, and people can call Adams Automotive Center to book that. But this was something that they came up with independently, saying we want to help Heather and Bill, and then you jumped on board with that as well, correct?
Absolutely, yes. They just needed to do something, and I thought it was a great idea.
All right, we'll be back with more from Bob Adams, Adams Automotive Center. Remember, call Adams Automotive Center. If you have anything going on with your vehicle, ask for your appointment on Saturday, March 7th. We'll hear more just after the break.
Well, we're visiting this morning with Bob Adams from Adams Automotive, trying to fill those bays with vehicles on March 7th. That's Saturday, because all of your technicians are donating their wages for that day to a coworker whose husband has cancer. What a fantastic, fantastic thing that you guys are doing. And then you're matching that as well. But now there's another event in addition, and they're tied somewhat. Tell us about the secondary event.
Now, the secondary event is the actual benefit, and that will be at the VFW on Star Avenue. That is Saturday, March 21st. It goes from 1 to 6. There'll be silent auction prizes mm-hmm. and food and things, everything going, a lot of things going on during that time. Bill will be there. Mm-hmm. He can talk again. The chemo's got his tongue down to where he can talk. It's a bit of a challenge for him, but he gets it done. So he'll be there. Heather will be there. I'll be there. My wife, Ronnie, will be there. We'll all be working it, whatever it takes to get this done. So if you're out there and you want to donate a prize or something or anything at all, just come on in. Otherwise, there should be a lot of good stuff there, and that's where we'll hold the drawing for the tires that day. So it's looking real good. There's been lots of participation, been people stopping by and just dropping off cash at the shop. Mm. And
nice.
It's a good world we live in, I tell you. They're really good people out there. So
that's wonderful. So these prizes, you register for some of them when you come in on the 7th to have your work done on your vehicle. And it can be something as simple as an oil change or just a look over or, brakes or whatever other problems, a check engine light.
Now
would be the time. So people register for these prizes, some of these prizes, at that event. And then the drawing is actually at that benefit event.
Yeah, we'll continue on through the weeks. People coming in and doing some work and stuff to get a chance to register for the tires. Anybody that contributes, we're going to allow them to register and things like that. So we're looking forward to this being a real big thing for those guys and try to curb some of them real expensive hospital bills.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Adams, Adams Automotive Center, thank you so much for coming in today and sharing about what you're doing again for one of your own. If you've called Adams Automotive Center before, folks, you've probably spoken to Heather. Wonderful, wonderful lady, just bubbly and cheerful. And to be able to encourage her as her husband's battling this cancer diagnosis and the medical bills and treatment is something that I think we can be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this.
Well, it is, among other things today, National Chili Day. Did you know that chili is short for chili con carne, which means chili with meat in Spanish?
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. A little Espanol for you. The cook-off favorite has been the official dish of Texas since 1977. In fact, I can just say our friends here at Sport Motors, just north of our studios, mm-hmm. they've got a... seems like a chili showdown themselves coming up.
Indeed.
On March 7th. So the Delicious. Most common ingredients in chili are tomatoes, chili peppers, meat, garlic, and onions. But there's all sorts of different ways to make
variations.
It, right? Hence the
yes.
competitions.
Yes.
In fact, they say if you want to start a fight around the water cooler today, ask people whether real chili contains beans.
True.
I say yes.
Right.
That depends on where you're from in Texas.
As a kid, I was not a fan of, I'd be like, my mom would make, it's kind of a staple. As an adult, as I've learned how good they are for you.
I'm yes. Like, bring it on.
Although, I think from what I've heard with the keto diet, it kind of, I'm not an expert on it.
Oh, I don't
from
know.
What I've heard, like, supposedly keto diet, typically not a part of.
Not, a bean
not with beans.
Eating.
But you okay. have your own take.
Well, yeah, I enjoy beans in my chili, I like it with some pasta, too. We throw it over elbow mac and,
sure.
You know, throw some cheese on there. It's delicious.
It is delicious with noodles, though I do not typically have it with noodles. But again, I eat whatever's set in front of me. But I do remember shortly after we were married, Lindsay made, I don't know, is it rotini? The kind of like some spiral noodles?
Spirally, yeah.
Made this incredible chili. I with all due respect to my mom, it was the best chili I have ever eaten.
Has she made it since then?
No, because she just made it
no.
up.
Oh,
she made it up
funny.
With no recipe. She just completely made it up.
Oh.
And we've never had the exact same chili since. And we've had many good chili meals.
Well,
but it
now
just,
it's
it
been built up
legend.
So much in your mind. Can
yes.
anything ever?
But that did have noodles in it. So
yeah,
even though
no.
I don't typically have chili with noodles, I'd say it can be excellent.
There's something to be said about the way that your mom raised you, right? I mean, I'm like... My mom did not put noodles in her chili, so it's like almost when Hillary raised it, I'm like, no. I mean, chili doesn't have noodles. Mom didn't put it
How
in
How could
it.
You?
People have strong opinions, though. These are some of the opinions. Somebody says, chili without beans is not chili. It is meat sauce.
Oh, hmm. kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I suppose.
I can see that. That's why it needs noodles.
I like meat sauce, too, so...
Interesting.
Do you go for like hot and spicy chili or a little bit more mild then add cheese, sour cream?
Well, because
like
I got kids.
Sure.
So I go the hot and spicy and then they can tone it down with mm-hmm. the cheese and the noodles.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I think even in Liberia where the food is, you know, they use a lot of red pepper. And
mm-hmm.
so I think what I've kind of learned is start with the base and if there's something on the side where you can... on your own,
sure.
increase the spice. That's
yeah.
kind of a way.
That's what my dad used to do as well, too. We'd have
but
have
you're the mom.
Dad's chili, yeah. and then yeah, everybody
what
else
about
is.
White chili?
Yes, white
I
chicken.
Do
chili
that's
is
white
excellent.
Chicken chili.
Kind of a change
so
of pace. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Some tortilla strips in there. Delicious.
Delicious.
Well, we have a dog now. His name is Max. I don't know. I suppose he's added a level of joy
stress.
And fun and stress. He's so. I love him. He's fun.
Owning a pet is a huge responsibility.
He's an
There's
eater
a lot
of socks.
Of joys, are you finding the socks out in the yard at some point as well, or?
Well, we're finding the socks as they are semi-processed.
Yeah, that's what my grandpa's dog Asta was a German Shepherd, and yeah, we had her when she was a puppy. She would eat so many socks.
So many. What is
so
it about
many.
The socks? They
and
love
carpet.
The socks.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So having a pets is good for families, apparently. And yeah, I don't know. There's a long list of why they're good. But there is a new study out that says a dog's presence might be the motivation that your children need to read better and for longer.
Okay.
So, yeah, to test whether dogs affected the children's motivation to read, 17 children between the ages of 6 and 8 years old read stories a bit beyond their reading level. Some read with a therapy dog, while others read without one. According to the study, the children who read aloud and after reading the first page, they would have the option of a second or reading or ending the session. Those with the dogs kept reading.
Hmm.
You know, I love at Altoona Public Library, they have a therapy dog come in.
Do they?
Yeah, for the kids to read to.
That's really cool.
It used to be Mocha Joe, but now I think they have a different therapy dog that comes in.
And I love that, too, because there's that comfort level. And again, various children, too. I mean, you just have different learning paces. And so if reading is something that it's taking a little longer to pick up to be able to read, because sometimes, and again, in our world, unfortunately, if you're in a classroom setting, there can feel like there's a lot of judgment. And like, and you'll clam up.
Yeah.
As a child, you can clam up because it's like, I can't do it. I can't do it with the other kids. Can do. There must be something wrong with. But with the dog, it's like, no, I'm just reading to the dog.
You know, I have to say, as much as my husband is like, you know, grumble, 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 dog.
That's actual audio.
That is actual audio. We used to take care of the neighbor's dog because she was an old dog, and we'd have to go over and let her out. And when it was a weekend and they were gone, and we would go over and let her out, he would go over there with a magazine and he would sit and read to Molly.
Mm.
And he's like, well, no, she's lonely. She likes words. Tell me he's not a dog person at heart. He may grumble, but he is also the only one that would go and read to a dog.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at wwib.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.